This is the Sunday School Lesson Review for this, the 27th day of January in the year of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, 2013. Now, let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For our Sunday school lesson today, let's look at John chapter 4. John chapter 4 in the New Testament. The Gospel according to John chapter 4. The reading begins at verse 1. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water, springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, Give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go, call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that sayest thou truly. The woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worship in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus said unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou? Or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meantime, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus said unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, There are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, Lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth, reapeth. Read it once again now. John chapter 4, verse 36. John chapter 4, verse 36. And he that reapeth, receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth, and another reapeth. Again, verse 37. John chapter 4, verse 37. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, He told me all that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were coming to him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, Now we believe not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. John chapter 4, verses 1 through 42. John chapter 4, verses 1 through 42. Let's use as a topic the testimony of the Samaritans. The testimony of the Samaritans. The Bible treats the Samaritans in various ways. There are various interpretations and definitions of Samaritans. I would use as one the indication that many of the Samaritans had a Jewish history, but they were not fully Jews and they were not accepted by the Jews. And for that reason, particularly, since they were not seen as purely Jewish, there had been a separation. Now, there are other interpretations of who the Samaritans were, but there had been intermarriage between certain Jews and people of the nations, people of the lands. And as a result of that, we do have a particular group of people known as Samaritans. Jesus even refers to the Samaritans as strangers. You may remember when Jesus healed some people and only one came back to say thank you. And Jesus asked where the others are, and he said, is this the only one that came back, this stranger? That person was a Samaritan. The Bible treats the Samaritans as having a certain degree of appreciation for that which is good. A certain degree of appreciation for that which is holy. You may remember that the man that fell among thieves, that the good Samaritan came down and helped him, whereas the Jews that were even ministers passed him by. And so the New Testament treats very kindly many of the Samaritans, and their acts, A-C-T-S, bode well for them in that they had a degree of humanity in them, a degree of appreciation in them, a degree of empathy for those who had fallen, that person who had fallen among thieves. Now, even though the Jews didn't have any dealings, and we see that here in this, you see, the woman seems to be a little perturbed that this Jew, particularly this Jewish man, is talking to her. He asks her for water. She doesn't know that he is Jesus. And so he's sitting on the well. And by the way, he's sitting on the well because he is wearied with his journey. Have any of you ever taken a journey and after a certain time you were wearied? I remember riding a bus from Montreal, Canada, back to Greensboro, North Carolina. And it took a number of days back then, must have been 40-some years ago. But if you want to get wearied with your journey, ride a bus from Montreal, Canada, to Greensboro, North Carolina. You will become wearied with your journey. Well, Jesus was sitting on the well because the Bible says he was wearied with his journey. And so if Jesus was wearied with his journey, it shows that the true God, when he is in the flesh form, also suffered what we suffer. We become weary. As God and God alone, he would not have become weary in terms of physically. So here we have an indication that Jesus Christ was truly God, and yet he was truly man. He was sitting on the well because he was wearied with his journey. And so we see this indication then, the Holy Spirit has us know that Jesus felt as we feel. And this also lets us know that when Jesus was on the cross, he felt the pain of those nails just as you and I would feel the pain of those nails. And yet, he washed us from our sins in his own blood, as we are told in Revelation chapter 1. So he went to the cross for you, and he went to the cross for me. But he hurt so bad for you, and he hurt so bad for me. I'm talking about the testimony of the Samaritans. And so Jesus sits on a well in Samaria. In Samaria. Now, some theologians say that the habit of Jews were that when they were passing beyond Samaria, they wouldn't even go through Samaria, that they would do two river crossings to keep from going through Samaria. In other words, they would go around Samaria because that's just how separated from the Samaritans the Jews were. They would cross the river, go around Samaria, then cross back over the river after they were around Samaria. But Jesus didn't do that. This tells us something about Jesus Christ. People will cross the river to get around you. They'll go the long way around. They will shun you. They will ostracize you because they think they are better than you are. They think you are lower than they are. And so they will go out of their way to not come in contact with you because you aren't good enough. And so the Jews had this habit of when they were traveling beyond Samaria, before they got to Samaria, they would cross the river. They would go around Samaria. Then they would cross back over the river. Some people are willing to go to great lengths just to keep from coming in contact with what they call the lower class people. I'm afraid that we're in a region now of history where more and more of that is going to be happening. I just observed a national election in the United States of America. I know many of you are listening on a computer from around the world, but in our nation in 2012, we had a national election. And I'm not trying to criticize, but as I listened to the rhetoric of the election, everything was focused toward the middle class. The middle class this and the middle class that. The middle class. What about the lower class? They said very little about the lower class. People have a way of focusing on them that they value. And they have a way of devaluing those whom they do not value. And so it appears that the focus was on the middle class and the upper class. You might say, well, that's where the votes were. Well, maybe that's where the votes were, but people are important, whether they are lower class, middle class, or upper class. And by the way, if there is a middle class, that means there has to be a lower class. You can't have a middle unless you have three things. Something above it and something below it. Something on one side and something on the other side. And so maybe you say, well, there could have been the middle class on the left and something on the right, but that's not the way it is here. Here they have the lower class. And I'm afraid, and I'm not trying to criticize you, but I want you to begin to look at where we are. People who are in the middle class certainly have a right and have a need. But we must not forget the lower class, those who did not go to college, those who have no education, and particularly those who do not understand technology. We've come to a point now where if you don't understand technology, you are just out of it. You don't know what's going on. Well, let me set the record clear. If you've never turned a computer on in all your life, do not allow this society to devalue you. Do not think less of yourself. You are just as important as anybody else. The woman said, Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. A lot of middle class people have no dealings with the lower class people. Oh, they are down there. They're in the ghetto. Oh, they don't know what's going on. They are not this and they are not that. But Jesus was not that way. And if you are a true Christian, you will not be that way. But if you are like the Pharisees, if you are like the Sadducees, if you are like the Jews of Jesus' day, who went across the river just to get around the people that they thought were lower and weren't good enough, the example of Jesus with the woman at the well should let you know that you are wrong in so doing. Not only are you wrong in so doing, that particular region had a need for Jesus Christ. So the Bible says in John chapter 4 that Jesus sat thus on the well. Now he knew what he was doing. Sometimes some of us are too busy to sit down. Sometimes it's good to get weary and have to sit down because somebody might come by you who need Jesus. He was weary with his journey, so he sat thus on the well. Now he did something that was strange, and the woman seemed to kind of question what his motives were. He said to the woman, "Give me to drink." And the woman said, "How is it that you, being a Jew, askest drink of me who am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." Now, she in so many words appeared to be saying, "You all think you are better than we are because you all don't have any dealings with us." She didn't say the Samaritans have no dealings with the Jews. She said the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. In other words, the Jews thought they were better. They were pure. And so she said, and she seemed to be kind of protesting a little bit, you know, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask this drink of me who am a woman of Samaria?" Now, I don't know what the real question was, but one thing women know is that a lot of time a man, when he wants certain things, he doesn't care who you are. I don't know if she was indicating, "Now, wait a minute, why are you talking to me? Jews don't talk to Samaritans. I'm a woman of Samaria, and you are asking me, you are talking to me, a woman of Samaria. What do you really want?" I don't know if that's what she's saying, but it's strange how she phrased it. She said, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask this drink of me who am a woman of Samaria?" A lot of women know that the man, when he wants certain things, he doesn't care where you came from, your race, your color. Sometimes he doesn't even care how you look. And so she asked him, "How is it that thou, being a Jew, ask this drink of me who am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." In other words, she doesn't seem to be being friendly there. She just seemed to be just trying to drive it in. "You all think you are better than we are, and now you're going to ask me about some water?" Jesus doesn't argue with her. Jesus said, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that's asking you for drink, you would have asked me." Now, people will come back to you in a logical way. People will sometimes, when you talk to them, you see, and by the way, Jesus started the conversation. The reason many of us don't get people saved, we will not strike up a conversation with them. You got to strike up a conversation. I went the other day to the bank. It was a snowy day, and so the bank didn't open on time. And when I got there, people were already waiting for the bank to open. The bank was supposed to open at 10 o'clock. It normally opens at 9 o'clock, but it was supposed to open at 10 o'clock, they said. So when I drove up there, there were two or three cars parked there. Well, about 2 minutes until 10, I decided to get out and go stand in the door because other cars were driving up. But I took note of who was already there. And so I stood there waiting for the door to open. And another man came up. He stood across from me. He was a Caucasian man. And so as he stood there, I struck up a conversation with him. He didn't say anything to me. I struck up a conversation with him. And as I talked to him, he began to talk to me. And so as we talked, then, of course, the bank opened. Well, when the bank opened, the people who had been sitting in their cars, I was first in line because I was standing there. The people who had been sitting in their cars, they came, they then got out of their cars. They were females. I think one was a male. And so I said to them, go ahead. You were here before I was. And so they went ahead, and he and I talked, and we went on in. He apparently finished before I did at some teller. But when he finished, he came by where I was at the teller's window. He came by where I was, touched me on the shoulder, and said, have a great day, sir. I struck up a conversation with him. You got to strike up conversations with people if you want people to talk to you. Jesus struck up a conversation with this woman. He struck this conversation up, and then when she came back with, how is it that you, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. He didn't come back on a strong way with her, but he then went straight to what he could offer her. He could offer her salvation. He said, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that says to thee, give me to drink, you would have asked of him and he would have given you living water. And from there, the conversation continued toward her salvation. The woman said unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. People oftentimes will not understand what you are saying when you transition the conversation from the temporal to the spiritual. She did not understand what he was saying. And people oftentimes will not understand. They will continue on the logical temporal when you are trying to go to the spiritual. Jesus said, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldst have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself, and his children and his cattle? And so she's still on the logical plane. When you get ready to talk to people about spiritual things, expect them to remain on the logical plane, on the temporal plane, and go right along and talk to them until they're able to make the leap from the temporal to the spiritual. She had not yet made that step from the temporal. She had not made that step from the temporal logical to the spiritual plane. And so she continues to say, are you greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water, springing up into everlasting life. Now, it is at this point that the woman seems to be now in a position of making the transition from the temporal, the mere logical, to the spiritual. Because again, it shows she's listening to him. Jesus says, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. The woman is listening now, and she understands that he's offering. The woman says to him, "Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw." Now, she hasn't made the full leap, the full step to the spiritual. She's thinking that if I get this water, I won't thirst anymore, and I won't have to come here to draw. But the fact that she requests the water indicates that Jesus has made an impression on her. He makes a claim. He says, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. When you are out talking to people, you've got to make the claims of the gospel. Let people know what is in the gospel for them. Jesus let her know that if she asked him, there would be benefits for her. And she, in return, asked for that benefit. You see, a lot of times we say, you're not saved. You ought to be saved. You ought to get saved. We don't tell people what's in it for them. And therefore, we are not giving as much of the gospel as we ought to give. Jesus let her know that if you had what I can give you, you would be in better condition. And the woman responds, give me what you can give me so that I don't thirst anymore and so that I don't come here to draw anymore. So you see, and some people say, well, a person has to fully understand everything before they accept Jesus Christ. There has to be a full understanding. Jesus told her what he could give her, and she, in hearing that, requested the water. She didn't even know what she was requesting. She thought it was water like she had come to draw, and that she'd have no more physical thirst, and she wouldn't have to come back to the well. And this is another thing about salvation. Don't mislead people. We tell them, yes, life will be better for you when you become a Christian, but you still got to come back to the well to draw the water to drink to sustain physical life. Sometimes we make life on earth in Christ seem like heaven. No, we aren't taking away the water that you have to draw, but we are giving you spiritual water. Jesus is offering to her a different kind of water. And so we have to just deal with people. Listen to them. Let them say what they're going to say. The woman said to Jesus, "Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw." At that point, Jesus makes a transition now from water to sin. Now he's told her what he can offer her. But now he makes a transition. He says, "Go call your husband." You see, one of the things we don't do, we are afraid to talk to people about sin. We are afraid that it's going to make them mad. You can't get somebody saved unless you deal with their sin. If they're in fornication, they need to get out of fornication. They need to know that they're doing wrong. And by the way, they already know a lot of times that they're doing wrong. That woman knew that she shouldn't have had five husbands. You see, a lot of times people will act like they don't know anything about the Lord, but they know about the Lord. That's one thing we learn from Sodom and Gomorrah. As bad and ungodly and abominable as the people of Sodom were, they knew what they were doing was wrong. Well, Reverend, how do you know that the people in Sodom knew what they were doing was wrong? Because when Lot went to the door and said, "Brethren, don't do so badly. Don't do what you're doing." They said to him, "Stand back. They said, this fella came in to sojourn, and now he's going to tell us what to do. Now we will deal worse with you than with them. So the fact that they said they were going to deal worse, the fact that they threatened Lot, the very fact that they said, now we are going to deal worse with you, they knew that what they wanted to do to those two men in Lot's house was wrong. They knew it was wrong, but they didn't care. And that's the thing about sin then, and that's the thing about sin now. People know it's wrong, but they do it, and they do not care. The men of Sodom convicted themselves when they say, stand back. This one fellow came in to sojourn, and now he's going to be a judge. He says, now we'll deal worse. The very fact that they said, we'll deal worse with you than with them, that tells us exactly that they knew what they were doing was wrong. And people today, they will tell you, I didn't know that was wrong. I thought that was all right. They know it's wrong. Many of them have gone to church. They've heard the gospel. Their grandmothers were Christians. Their grandfathers were Christians. Their mothers were Christians. Their fathers were Christians. They've just cast off what they've learned, and now they are pretending that what they are doing, they didn't know it was wrong. The men of Sodom knew because they used the word worse. Now we'll deal worse with you. And so they knew at least that what they were planning to do to those men in Lot's house, that it was bad. Because you don't go from good to worse, but you go from bad to worse. They knew what they were planning to do was bad, and then they said, now we'll deal worse with you. This woman knew that having five husbands was wrong. Most sinners know that what they're doing is wrong. Jesus now makes this transition from the water and what's in it for her. He makes the transition to, well, let's look at what's in you, so to speak. You see, yes, when you're talking to people, you let them know what's in God for them. But first you got to deal with what's in them. And in her was this adultery. In her was these five husbands. So Jesus, and it's not by accident. You see, before a person becomes a missionary, you got to convict them of their sin. You don't send a sin-laden missionary to testify to other people. You need to convict them. You got to deal with their sin. And the problem with the church today, the church won't deal with sin in many cases, not in all cases, but the church will not deal with sin in many cases. That's why you have people abortating, homosexuating, adulterating, and fornicating, because the church won't deal with sin. When you have a populace where the major group and the major people vote for men marrying men and women marrying women, that shows a failure of the Christian church, because you won't deal with sin. Why won't you? Because the teachers and the principals and professors are in your church and they pay money and you don't want to upset them. And some of them are deacons, some of them are preachers, some of them are missionaries. And if you say something, they're going to put you out of your position. The church needs to deal with sin. Jesus dealt with that woman's sin. That's why if you don't deal with the seeker's sin, the seeker will bring people in who are also in sin. The Christian must know that sin is unacceptable. The Christian must know that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so I say to you around the world today, those of you who listen to my ministries, you know that my ministries are rather strong. But they must be strong, because a lot of churches are weak. A lot of churches will not deal with sin. You can go in church and do anything, and you can keep on sinning, and the preacher won't even bring up the sin. Jesus said, go call your husband. You can have five wives in many churches today and still be a deacon. You can have five wives in many churches today and still be a preacher. You can have five wives in some churches today and still be a bishop. But Jesus said, go call your husband. Jesus brought up her sin. Jesus engaged her. Jesus got her talking. Jesus made some claims to her. And she asks for the benefits. And then that's when the hook came. You see, you got to give them something that they want. And so here is what God has for you. But in order to get what God has for you, then you got to deal with you. You must deal with the sin that is inside of you. It is not enough to say, I want what God has, but I'm not going to give up the sin that Satan has me in. In order to get what God has, you must give up the sin that Satan has you in. You must give up the sin that Satan has you in. So Jesus said, go call your husbands. Some of you preachers, you ought to tell those people at the altar, go call your husband. You ought to tell those people, go call your wives. You know they got four wives. You know they're living with somebody. They're not married. And you're going to bring them in the church. Jesus said, go call your husband. Go call your husband. Jesus said, let's deal, in so many words, let's deal with this sin. You want this water I have for you? Let's deal with your sin. I'll give you my best if you give up your worst. I'll give you my holiness if you will give up your sin. But you don't get my holiness and hold on to your sin. Jesus said, go call your husband. Go call your husband. Go call your husband. Jesus said, go call your husband. The woman said, I have no husband. Jesus said, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that says thou truly. Jesus said, well, you're saying true. You don't have a husband. You had five husbands. And the one you have now, he is not yours. So you don't really have one. But she was in sin. The woman then understood and said, I perceive that thou art a prophet. She wasn't crazy. Like those men in Sodom, they weren't crazy. She knew she was wrong. These people are running around doing these sins. They know they're wrong. They know they're wrong. But unless someone engages them and brings to the fore their sin, they are not going to repent. And now, because they have so many people encouraging them, particularly in the media, they have drunk down the lies of Satan. And so if the media says it's all right, if the talking head says it all right, then they'll go along with it. But God never said that. The woman said to him, I perceive that thou art a prophet. What did she say there? She said that because she knew she was wrong. She said that because he had caught her in her sin. She said that because he didn't let her escape and pretend her sin wasn't sin. She said that because she knew that there was a spiritual condition that she was in that was not right. And this man, this Jew, sitting on the well, had put his finger squarely and precisely on her sin. Thus her response was, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worship in this mountain. Ye said that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain, nor yet in Jerusalem, worship the Father. Ye worship whom ye know not. Verse 22 of John chapter 4. Ye worship Ye know not whom, or you know not what. He doesn't even say whom. He said what. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship. For salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So Jesus lays it out now. First of all, he makes the claim. He deals with her sin. She requests the water. He deals with her sin. She acknowledges that he must be somebody. She calls him a prophet. Then she begins to talk about worship. He hadn't said anything about worship. So she knows a lot. Sinners know a lot more than they act like they know. You see, he hadn't said anything about worshiping. She's the one, the woman said, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worship in this mountain. And ye say that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship. She knew she ought to worship. She knew she was wrong. These people walking around said, don't say anything to me. They know they are wrong. They know they are wrong, many of them. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh, when ye shall neither in this mountain, nor yet in Jerusalem, worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. I'm talking about the testimony of the Samaritans. So we see in this encounter, Jesus did not skirt the area, but he went straight through it. And going straight through it, he got tired, he sat down. Woman comes to do her own work. He engages her. We want to engage people. A lot of times we want to engage people. You see, we need to engage people. He engages her. She, first of all, doesn't show any appreciation for it. How is it that you, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Many of us would have shut the conversation down right then. Oh, I'm sorry, ma'am, I wouldn't have bothered you. I'm sorry, ma'am, I'm sorry I bothered you. That's the way it is now. It's hard to help people these days because they got laws. First thing she could do is run and say, that man over there is bothering me. You can't help people these days, Harley, without risking your own self. But it appears that we still have to do that. But you risk your own self now. They got people now who, the moment, especially if you're a man and you say something to a woman, oh no. Why'd you say it? What are you talking to her about? You see, Satan has set it up so now that it's unlikely that you will say anything to anybody about the Lord unless they ask you about him. You see how bad things are now? We're in an ungodly situation now. A man talking to a woman, and then if she goes to court, the judge, why'd you bother her? Why'd you mess with her? Why'd you talk to her? So they don't mean for you to say anything to people these days unless you do it at the risk of your own safety. It risks costing you something. Because you see, the rules are you don't do that. Well, that's what the rules were when Jesus talked to the woman at the well. The Jews didn't even go past that way. They had no dealings with the Samaritans. I'm assuming a little bit, but maybe I shouldn't assume. Let's just say what she said. She asked him a question, and she didn't acquiesce to his request to give him water. She could have just given him some water and gone her way. She could have just drawn. She had her water pots. She could have just given him a drink of water and gone her way. Oh, no, how is it that thou, being a Jew, asses drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria. For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Can't you see a woman doing that? Can't you see a woman, what you asking me for water for? Y'all don't have no dealings with us. See, that shows a wrong spirit. A right spirit would have given him water anyway. You see, the very people sometimes who are the most difficult to deal with are the ones it is very apparent need Jesus. If she'd been a Christian ahead of time, if her heart had been right, she would have just given him some water, regardless of who he was. But no, she was holding this thing about the Samaritans and the Jews. And as soon as she got the opportunity, she exploded on him. How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealing with the Samaritans. I've seen women like that. I've known women like that. I know women who will blow up on you in a minute. They'll go off on you in a minute like that. That shows a wrong spirit. All the man asked was, give me a drink of water. All the man asked her. He didn't ask her for a whole lot of lip. A lot of women give you a whole lot of lip. Or that's why some women you can't even talk to. The moment you ask them a question, they come out with all kinds of things. All the man said was, give me to drink. And she blows up with, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. So she goes into all kinds of things. You, Jew, asking water of me, woman, Samaria. For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. She just exploded on him. All he asked her was, give me a drink. Just give me a drink. All she had to do was put the thing in the well, get some water, give him a drink. Oh, no. Oh, no. She was just waiting for an opportunity to explode. And some of us do that. Some of us do that because we hold things. You may say, well, Paige, I've heard you in your sermons. It sounds like you're doing that. I may have. I don't like racism. There are those who think they are better than we are. I don't make any differences in terms of races. As far as I'm concerned, there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But if I think you are trying to come from a racist point of view, I may be like that woman to some extent. I may say, wait a minute. Now we aren't going to do this. I've told people, look, we aren't going back through slavery. No, we aren't going back through slavery. But I still deal with them. I'll give you a drink of water. I'll help you. My heart is right. But I'll let you know we aren't going back through this. We ain't doing this no more. We are not doing this anymore. No more American slavery. No. So things can run deep with people. It appears that with her, the Jews, thinking they were better than the Samaritans, ran deep with her. And it doesn't look like she was about to give him any water. As a matter of fact, she didn't give him any, but he gave her water. And so we have to be very, very careful in terms of what we say. We can seek the opportunity to explode on people, even as ministers, even as Christians. So be careful not to explode on people, because you are holding in something that you know is not right, that the other person thinks they are this and they are that. I just try to say, I'm not going to be a hypocrite. And I'll just tell you straight up, no, you're no better than I am. You never were. Even when you were the slave master, you were not better than I am, because God made me. God made you. But I still do it in love. I still will give you a drink of water. I still will hand you a dollar if you are standing by the wayside begging. I do it often to white people. And so while on the one hand, I guard against racism, on the other hand, I don't hold it against this current generation. And so we have to be very, very careful. In her case, she had what she needed. Probably she didn't come across many Jews, since most Jews didn't come that way. And so this was her opportunity. Here you got a Jewish man sitting on a Samaritan well. Most Jews didn't come that way. Most Jews didn't do that. They skirted Samaria. So this was her opportunity to let him know in so many words, y'all don't have no dealing with us. Why are you asking me for water? For I'm a woman of Samaria. The Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. This was her opportunity. She took it. But Jesus did not take offense. See, this is the one thing we need to learn. Just because they come back to you strong, just because they say something nasty back to you, don't take offense. That's one thing I've learned. See, don't let them make you mad. If you let them make you mad, you can't. It's going to be hard for you to witness because you're taking it personally. She was talking. She didn't even know who he was. She was talking to Jews in general. She just knew that the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. This was one Jew sitting on one well. But as far as she was concerned, it appears it could have been the whole Jewish nation. Because she didn't say, you have no dealings. She said, well, why are you talking to me? The Jews, you are a Jew. Which also lets us know it was very clear Jesus was very Jewish looking. No one told the woman that Jesus was a Jew. She didn't know who he was. So this is one indication that Jesus, in his very appearance, was very Jewish, because she immediately identified Jesus as a Jew. So she said, how is it that you, being a Jew, we know that Jesus was a Jew by the testimony of the Samaritan woman. No one told her that he was a Jew, as far as we know. And you say, well, maybe she met somebody on the way and said, there's a Jew sitting on the well. I don't know. The Bible doesn't say that. All I know is that she said, how is it that you, being a Jew, asks drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. But from the information the Holy Spirit put here, it causes me to extrapolate that Jesus looked very Jewish. And this was this woman's opportunity now, because she may not have seen a whole lot of Jews, particularly at that well. But, you see, she had this opportunity now to just let it out. And she let it out. How is it that you, being a Jew, ask drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritan. Well, it wasn't even about that. It was about a drink. He just said, give me a drink. Why you got to go into all of this? You a Jew, I'm a woman of Samaria, and we don't have any dealings. Why just give him a drink? But no, she went through all of that. But it was not in vain, because the next thing Jesus said, apparently he's gentle with her. He said, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that says to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him. He would have given thee living water. So if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith, give me to drink, you would have asked of him. He would have given you living water. So he doesn't, on the one hand, become offended. You see, when you're trying to win someone to Christ, don't let them offend you by saying things like, mind your own business. Why are you talking to me? I don't like church. I've been to church. I know all that. It's none of your business. He just makes another claim. You see, how does Jesus respond to opposition? His response to opposition is first of all indicating that the woman had a lack of knowledge, and indicating that if she did have the proper knowledge, that she would have asked of him, and then he would have given living water. This is pretty, seems so simple, but it's kind of complex. First of all, the woman gave an opposition. She gave an objection. She objected to a Jew asking a woman of Samaria for a drink of water. She objected and gave the reason for her objection. She said, y'all don't have no dealings with us, for the Jews have no dealings. For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Isn't that something? Neighbors with no dealings. For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Isn't that something? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. But this Jew was different. This was a different Jew. He was Jew, very Jewish looking apparently. But she said, how is it that thou, being a Jew? So she identified him as a Jew. She had met the Jew of all times. She had met the Jew of all ages. She had met the Jew who is the Son of God. She had met the Jew who is the Savior of the world. She had met the Jew who is Lord of Lords, King of Kings. This was a different Jew. This was a different Jew. The woman saith unto her, Sir, the woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus said to her, go, call thy husband and come hither. So now the sin is exposed. Many of you refuse to expose sin, and it will cost you. I have exposed sin in people's lives, and they've gone and told others, he asked me about such and such. That's not his business. My life is none of his business. What I do in my life is none of his business. That's my business. But if we don't deal with the sin, more than likely, we won't win the sinner. You don't get saved by not dealing with your sin. You don't get saved by denying your sin. You don't get saved by the preacher overlooking your sin. She knew she was in sin. That's why she said, I perceive that thou art a prophet. I don't want to turn this on its head, but when you just bring in people in their sin, is it not logical for them to perceive that you are not a prophet? When you just bring in people and say, join the church, keep on drinking liquor. Join the church, keep on homosexuating. Join the church, keep on adulterating. Join the church, keep on fornicating. Join the church, keep on abortitating. Would it not be logical for them to extrapolate that you are not a prophet? They understand, many of them, that the conditions they're in are sinful conditions. And when you let them come into the church and not deal with those conditions, is it not logical that they would extrapolate that you are not a prophet? a true prophet. True prophets will deal with sin. True preachers will deal with sin. True prophets will deal with sin. It was after he brought up the subject of her husband that she said, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Bible identifies a prophet as somebody to be scared of. He sees your sin. Fear him to some extent. He's not God, no. Be afraid of him. Prophets, they were afraid of Samuel. Samuel would go a place sometime and they'd go meet him and say, is it peace? Samuel was a strange prophet. Samuel was a dangerous prophet. They run and meet him. And Samuel, is it peace? Is it peace? Samuel didn't play. When Samuel came, they run and meet him. Is it peace? Is it peace? They didn't know what Samuel was coming to say. Prophets sometimes bring bad news. Prophets speak truth. They didn't know. They would run and meet the prophet. Is it peace? Is it peace? That's the kind of prophet Samuel was. The woman said to Jesus, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worship in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Now, this is a total different tone than how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria. For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Now, she knew both of those things. You see, what people choose to say doesn't mean that that's the only thing they know to say. So she, out of the same mouth, came these two very different statements. First, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And out of that same mouth came this other statement. I perceive that thou art a prophet. Out of that same mouth came this statement. Our fathers worship in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Now that's a total change in attitude, perception, perspective, even in manner of speaking. In the first instance, it was Jew, you, woman, me, Samaria, no dealings between Jews and Samaritans. That's one tone. But now, she's saying, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worship in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Now, she has crossed the line from being opposed to him. Now, she's holding conversations that can be congruent, that can make sense now. Not that the other was not logical. It was true the Jews didn't have dealings much with the Samaritans. She said no dealings. So she changes her tone. The very people who oppose you at the outset will change their tone when you bring to bear the word of God. But it is dangerous now. It is dangerous. It's hard to help people these days because they are looking a lot of time for something to say about Christians. Some of them are looking to accuse Christians. Some of them are looking to say that you are interfering with them. That's just the way it is now. That's just the way it is. It's hard to help. I've seen people, I've been places where I could help people, but I knew that in doing it, I would do it at the risk of my own safety. the risk of my own well-being. But that's what missionaries do, isn't it? When missionaries go overseas, they risk their entire selves. When they go to a foreign land, a foreign country, oftentimes they don't speak the language or don't speak it well. They know that anything can happen. And many things have happened to missionaries. So it is not easy today, I must state. Getting people saved today is not easy because we have legislated sin as being acceptable. And I'll tell you another reason why it's going to be even more difficult in the future, my friends, those of you who are young people. Now you have various strata who are creating their own ethics. And so they are going to create ethics that say that many of the sins that God says are sins, they're going to say, oh, that's not a sin. And people are going to believe them. And when you approach them and they was, oh, no, my ethicist said that that's fine. Satan is doing that now. I've seen it. It's on the rise. It's an attempt to overrule God. It's an attempt to get rid of the Holy Bible. It's an attempt to get rid of God's word. It's an attempt for man to become God himself. Man has tried that time and time again. And so man now is, they are training their own ethicists. This person has a PhD in ethics. Well, let me give you a bottom line, my friends, and many of you, some of you will listen. Many of you won't because you laugh at me and you think I'm an idiot. But for those of you who do listen to me and you think that what Pastor Page is saying is the word of God, let me say this to you. One way you can judge, and you need this, you need a true standard. If you do not have a true standard, then you're going to have a hard time judging things. Now, the true standard is the Holy Bible. The true standard is the Holy Bible. Everything that conflicts with the Bible is wrong. Everything. Everything that agrees with the Bible, with God's word, is right. Reverend, I saw where they went through and killed whole cities and things. They slew the women, the children, and the men, and all of that. So you mean to tell me we ought to follow that? You haven't read enough, my friends. We are not sent to slaughter. But Reverend, they did that in the Bible. No, we are not sent to slaughter in general. No, that's not what I'm talking about. The Bible must be rightly divided. The Bible commands that we study to show ourselves approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly divided in the word of truth. And so, no, you don't just pick up the Bible, open to a certain scripture, and say, well, I'm going to go do that because they did that. No, a lot of the stuff they did was not pleasing in God's sight. Now, if God sent them to do something, like he sent them to Jericho, God sent them there. It was a movement and a plan of God. Jericho was God-planned. God planned Jericho. And he gave the instructions of what was to be done. But no, you don't go out hurting people and shooting people and things like that. Don't even try that. Don't even try it. Don't say, oh, well, I heard the preacher say that whatever the Bible says is right. It is right, but it has to be rightly divided. It has to be rightly divided. But my point is, going forward, because man is creating his own religion and his own ethics and his own ethicists, and that their foundation is not the Word of God in most cases. The only way you can be sure that something is right is by knowing the Word of God. And that's what I use. I use the Word of God. And I judge things by the Word of God. If it isn't right in God's sight, if it isn't right in God's Word, then it is not right. It is not right. And so for those of you who will listen to me, because the world is going so fast now, many people do not want preachers, and particularly not those who talk about sin and who say that God will judge sin. And so as a result of that, there are those who will be grossly misled as they follow man's philosophy, man's opinions, man's laws, man's edicts, man's dictates, without understanding and knowing what God has said. God has already put it out. And if you will just hold on to the Holy Bible, hold on to the Word of God. Well, this chapter ends with the woman running to tell the Samaritans and that she had met a man. She said, "Come, see a man that told me all that I ever did. Is not this the Christ?" This is John chapter 4. Verse 28 says, John chapter 4, verse 28, "The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" The woman knew a lot. She knew a lot. She knew a lot. She knew a lot. Then they went out of the city and came unto him. After her testimony, they went out and came to him. Disciples come back and they're wondering what's been going on. We go over to verse 39. John chapter 4, verse 39. John chapter 4, verse 39. "And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, 'He told me all that ever I did.'" John chapter 4, verse 39. "And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, 'He told me all that ever I did.'" Let's read that once again now. John chapter 4, verse 39. "And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, 'He told me all that ever I did.'" So when the Samaritans were coming to him, they besought him that he would tarry with them. And he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. Now he is a Jew. He is a Jew who goes through Samaria, sits on a well, meets a woman. She goes back and tells the men of the city about him. They come out and they see him and hear him and they ask him to stay. Samaritans ask a Jew to stay with them. "And many more believed because of his own words." This is verse 41. "And said unto the woman, Now we believe, not because of thy saying. For we have heard him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. This is the testimony of the Samaritans. The Samaritans said, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. The Samaritans, who upon having contact with Jesus through the Samaritan woman, first said, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. When Christ finishes, they said, now we believe. Not because of what she said. We believe because we have heard you ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. And many more believe. Because of his own word, and said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. John chapter 4, verses 41 and 42. John chapter 4, verses 41 and 42. Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. I'm talking about the testimony of the Samaritans. The testimony of the Samaritans. The testimony of the Samaritans. Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. The Gospel of John, chapter 4, verse 42. The Gospel of John, chapter 4, verse 42. The Gospel of John, chapter 4, verse 42. And said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. The testimony of the Samaritans. The testimony of the Samaritans. The testimony of the Samaritans. This has been the Sunday School Lesson Review. For this, the 27th day of January, in the year of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, 2013. I am Pastor Clarence William Page, and this is Light to Guide Our Feet, the 24/7 Authentic Christian Ministry of Trinity Baptist Church.